The scripture reading this morning is from Philippians. As we continue our study of the book of Philippians, the text is verses 12 and 13 of Philippians 2, but the passage I'm going to read is 1 through 13. Philippians 2, 1 through 13, page 1827. And we'll look at verses 12 and 13. Listen to the word of the Lord. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now the text. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So far the reading of the word of the Lord. Before we open this beautiful passage, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we look at this beautiful teaching and instruction and encouragement of the Apostle Paul, of the Holy Spirit to us, that we may continue to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is you, O Lord our God, who works in us both to will and to act according to your good purpose. Lord, lead us in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord, the idea of workout is very familiar to us. We have workouts all the time. We have If young people are, boys and girls are playing sports, there's always a workout. There's practice. So they have a workout for basketball or baseball or football or any other kind of sport activity. We have workouts too in music. There's practice for a choir or for a band. Working out, that's a very important concept, to work something out. It is to use what you have learned and put it into practice. That's what a workout is. You get instruction as to how you are to swim, for example, and then you are to get into a pool and do it. A workout is to put into practice what you have learned. And now the Apostle Paul is using that word, that idea of workout, here in connection with your salvation. And it makes a lot of good sense. You see, in the Bible, for example, in the book of James, you read that the person who has faith and has no works, for that person his faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. What does faith have to have? It has to have a workout. Faith has to have fruit. Faith has to have evidence. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking here about our Christian life. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God working in you both to will and to act for His good purpose. So let's look at this, our salvation workout. First, it's encouragement, and then it's how is it possible, and then it's goal. First, the encouragement. This is very important. Paul is encouraging his people. Look how he starts this paragraph, these two verses. Therefore, my dear friends, he loves these folks that he's writing to. They're very close to him. And it is the Holy Spirit who inspires him. And what he writes to them, he writes to us. And it's the Lord that loves us. He cares for us. And he calls you and he calls me, dear friends. Dear friends. And the word therefore ties it to what went right before, which is let this mind be in you which was in Christ. And then the apostle shows how Jesus did not consider being on equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, became a servant even to the point of death, and God exalted him to the highest place and made him the king and the Lord of all. And now Paul says, now you know that. Now work it out. Work it out that Jesus Christ is really the Lord of your life. And he says, look, it is not only when I'm present that I want you to do this. I want you to do this when I'm not present. You know, that makes a big difference. We as parents, we raise up our children, and then perhaps we send them off to college. Or they go off to work and they get their own apartment. Or they go into the military. Now the parents say something, this exactly what Paul says to these folks in Philippi. He says, now, I want you to do what I'm saying, not when I'm with you and looking over your shoulder and watching you, but much more in my absence I want you to do it. I want you to have that initiative in your own heart so that when I'm not there, you will still do it. Isn't that what we as parents want to? You send your children off to school, to work, military, wherever, but you're not there every day, and you want them, when Sunday comes, to be in church. Isn't that right? You want them to be in church, not because you're there and say, okay, now get ready and go to church, today is Sunday, but you want them to have that desire in their heart that they're going to get up, they're going to set their alarm, and they're going to get up and they're going to go to church. Why? Because they want to. Because they love to be in the house of the Lord. Because they do have a hunger for the Lord. And they do it because they want to. Isn't that what you want? That's exactly what Paul wants. My second congregation was in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we had people from Reform, from RCA, CRC backgrounds that would come occasionally to church. And this one family was CRC from one of the Western Michigan churches. And this young couple lived in the near the church, and I had called on them, but they didn't come. But one day I saw them there in church, and Ma and Pa were there. Their mother and their parents were there from Michigan. And then they came. And when their parents went back home to Michigan, they didn't come again. You see, now that's exactly what Paul is talking about. He says, I want you to obey whether I'm there or not. You know who shows us what this really means? It's Joseph. Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites by his brothers. And then he was sold to Potiphar. And there in Potiphar's house in Egypt, no parents, no friends, no peer group, no one to look over him. And here Potiphar's wife seeks to entice him. And he says, I can't do this thing. Why? Why can't I do this? Because my folks will be disappointed in me? Because my friends will be disappointed and ashamed of me? No. Those are not the reasons. He says, I cannot do this thing and offend the Lord. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. He is saying, not only when I'm with you, but now much more when I'm not with you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So the initiative, the desire, is not something which is imposed from the outside by parents or elders or preachers or deacons or Sunday school teachers who are looking over your shoulder. No, 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 no. That desire of obedience to the Lord and living for Jesus has to be something that comes from your heart. That is what Paul is wanting. That's what he's calling. That's what he's encouraging them. And now what is it specifically that he's encouraging to do? He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, there's some misunderstanding perhaps that has come up with this verse. And that is this, that we are to do our salvation, that we are to work it out. And that's not what Paul is talking about. Because he adds, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So he's not saying to us, you get yourself saved. No. That's not what he's talking about. You see, salvation is 100% of grace. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. Working it out is something like what Jesus was talking about in the parable of the talents. To one he gave five. Now that gift of five talents was pure and simple grace. That person who got five talents did not earn them. He did not deserve them. He received them as a gift from the master. He got five, and another one got two. Pure grace. Unmerited favor. One got only one. And then the master of those servants said, now you work it out. You take those five talents and see what you can do with them. And I'll be back. And the same with the two and the same with the one. And he came back by and by, and the one who had five said, here are my five, but I made another five. You see, he worked it out. He took what he had. He took that wonderful gift of grace and he did something with it. And the same with the two. But the one with the one, he didn't do anything. And he was condemned severely for not doing anything. And so the Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. He says, therefore, my beloved friends, my dear brothers and sisters, not only when I'm here with you, but now much more when I'm not, continue to work out that wonderful gift that you have received, that gift of salvation. Work it out. Apply it. Just like the one with 5 talents did. Work it out. Make more of it. That's what we have to do. So the Apostle Paul is talking about sanctification here. You know the difference between justification and sanctification. Justification is an act of God by which He declares us not guilty, and He takes away our sins and grants us the inheritance of eternal life on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ alone, which we receive by faith. That's justification. That is once for all. But then there's sanctification, which is to work it out, that it may bear fruit in your life, that you may show forth the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's sanctification. And that is a process, and it's lifelong. Your whole life, my whole life, we are to be working out our salvation, applying it. It's not enough to have the Ten Commandments like a plaque on your wall, or to have a statement like prayer changes things as a plaque on your wall. It's not enough to have a motto. What is important is to have the motto, all right, but to work it out. You see, Satan isn't bothered much by the mottos. He isn't bothered much by the plaques on your wall. You can have all the plaques you want, just so you don't do what the plaque says. And what Paul is saying, not only when I'm with you and looking over your shoulder, but now much more when I'm not, work out your own salvation. Work out that what you've learned. Work it out in your daily walk, not only on Sunday. Yes, work it out on Sunday and be in church, but work it out in your business, in your attitudes towards one another, in your marriage, in the training of your children, in your political affairs. Work it out. Vote when you're called upon to vote, and vote according to what you believe the Lord is teaching you by His Word. Work that out in terms of your political responsibilities and your economic responsibilities. Work it out in your marriage. Work it out in your attitudes toward your fellow workers. Work it out in your schoolwork. Work it out in every area of your life. Work it out in your driving habits. Work it out in your leisure time. Work it out in what you watch or what you allow your children to watch on television, video, or any other means of communication. Work it out. Work out your Christianity in every part of your life. Work it out. Jesus gave a parable concerning the kingdom. And what I'm talking about here is the kingdom of God. Jesus gave an illustration of the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is like yeast in dough, in flour. What does the yeast do? It penetrates to every single area of that flour, so that the bread will rise, all of it. That's the kingdom of God. That is working out your salvation in every area of life. That is a very important biblical principle that runs through the entire Bible. And that's what the Bible means. That's what Paul means here by working out your salvation. When John the Baptist was baptizing, there were various people that came to him and said, John, what must we do? Soldiers came. Or policemen. And they said, John, what must we do? He said, do what you have to do in obedience to your commanding officer. That's working out your salvation in that area of life. As fathers, what must we do? We must take what the Bible says about fathers and work it out. Work it out. Day by day. Day by day. And so this is our salvation workout. Is it hard work? Yes. Are there obstacles? There sure are. There are three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They're all against us. They're all against working out your salvation and making it applicable, making it fruitful. You know, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. What does it mean to bear fruit? It means to take what the Lord Jesus has given us and work it out. And bear fruit. And then when that fruit becomes obvious, I mean, you're living the way you should according to the Word of God, and then someone may say, hey, what is your secret? Then Peter says, be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope you have with meekness and respect. And so you see, this is a real witness. The Catechism asks this question, why must we do good works? Since we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, why must we still do something? The Catechism answers in Lord's Day 32, yes, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But the Lord saves us, redeems us, gives us grace in order that we may show our thankfulness to Him. That's the first reason. Second, that we may be assured of our faith by the fruits of it. And thirdly, that our neighbors may be won to Christ by our godly walk. Lord's Day 32, beautiful, beautiful explanation of this very thing that Paul's talking about. Work out your own salvation. Now, how is it possible? In ourselves, we fall flat on our face. We are not very good at it. We really aren't. We are inconsistent. Sometimes, yeah, we're good, but then sometimes we're not. And we're ashamed of ourselves. And Paul knew that very well. He knew that we in ourselves are incapable of doing it like we should. And so he says, work out continually, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For, here's the reason he gives, for it is God who works in you. Notice, to do two things, to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's the Lord who gives us the will to do it. You see, that is what Paul wants in those people's hearts, that the Lord produce the will to do it. The will. And he does. It is God who gives us the will to do it. And that is such a great gift of God, the will. There's an expression that says a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You have that with a problem like addiction. If a person's will is not transformed by God Himself, that will is not going to obey the Lord. It's just not. The power of alcohol, the power of sex, the power of gambling, the power of the desire for more of this or that, all those desires will overpower a person. And don't ever think that we're so strong that we can handle it ourselves. We can't. That's why Paul says, continually work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will. Pray, Lord, may my will be conformed to your will. How does the Lord do that? He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new heart. In the Canons of Dort, section or chapter 3-4, article 11, deals with this. It's very practical. He says, but when God accomplishes His good pleasure in the elect, or works in them true conversion, He not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them, and powerfully illuminates their minds by His Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit, He pervades the inner recesses of man. He opens the closed heart and softens the hardened heart, and circumcises that which is uncircumcised. He infuses new qualities into the will, which, though heretofore was dead, He makes it alive. From being evil, disobedient, and reactionary, He makes it good, obedient, and pliable. He actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. That's how He does it. He gives us a new heart, a new will. It's His work. So it is God who works in us to will. But it's our will that He changes. It's our will that He changes. And He takes over our will, so that we will and act according to His good purpose. And you see, the actions have to follow that will. The will is changed by the Lord, and He changes then our actions still. And that's God's work. That's divine. Something happened, I think, in the life of Gabby Douglas. Now, you may or may not have heard of her. But she was the 15-year-old girl that won the gold medal in gymnastics in London and the Olympics. A beautiful young lady. The very first African-American ever to win the gymnastics gold medal. And in receiving that great award, she said, all praise be to the Lord my God. All praise belongs to Him. And His blessings flowed unto me. That's a beautiful testimony. 15-year-old young lady, Gabby Douglas, stood there in the podium in London before the whole world. and gave glory to the Lord. That's exactly right. That's working it out. That's working it out. What's the goal of all this? It's for God's good purpose. It's all for the Lord. What is the chief end of man? What's the chief end of a young lady or a young boy or a child or a grandpa or a grand? What's our chief goal in life? To glorify God. And in doing that, we enjoy Him forever. This is life. This is a workout. And it's all through life. We never graduate until the Lord takes us home. And then, like Jesus said, the master said to the man who had 5 talents and made another 5. And the master said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, may all of us hear those words from our Savior. And everyone said, "Amen." Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. We thank You for Your grace. And may we, O Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, continually work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us both to will and to do and act unto Thy good purpose. Lead us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.